Good morning, church. How are you? It's great to see you. Great to see you. We are rejoicing with you at the news of you finding your new pastor. That is great news. And we are looking forward to seeing just great things ahead for this amazing church. As Roger said, the news had spread. You know, you'd have to be kind of in another world to not have heard this. And when we got to the church today, some folks greeted us, and we talked about the news. And by the way, me mentioning this, I wasn't offended by any of these words that I'm going to tell you about. But one lady walked up to me, and she said, "Well, it's all downhill for you from this point forward." We laughed together. I said, "That didn't kind of come out the way you meant, did you?" "No," she said, "I didn't mean that way." But then another guy greeted me, and he said, "I hear your days are numbered." I'm begging you, please, you know, whatever you folks have in mind, you know. Well, we are excited for what's ahead. I just want to tell you, did you know we've been here a year now? You know, it's the longest year of your lives. I understand that. But in that year, when we first came, the first week I was here, I knew what my last two sermons were going to be, and I've been holding them in my heart for these 2 years, or for this year, these 2 years. Seemed that way to you, not me. At any rate, it's called The Other Side of the River, and so next Sunday, it's going to take a couple Sundays, but next Sunday I'm going to begin that. And I really want you to come with your hearts prepared, because it's the word that God gave me for you for going forward into this new era that's ahead, okay? So please just even be thinking about that, you know, praying for this, that time. All right. We're going to go to the book of Acts today. If you'll turn to Acts chapter 3 with me today. And just kind of put it to the side. In 1968... the music world for Christians really changed. And I got Roger's attention right away when I said the music world for Christians. Because Andre Crouch and the Disciples cut their first album, dropped their first album. I bought it. My parents were like, "What is this? Is this godly?" You know, because it wasn't what we were used to hearing. It was really soulful, wonderful black music. It was great. And I used to put that record on in our house, and we had that big console stereo. Remember those? About as long as a car. And I'd put that on. I'd turn it up as loud as I possibly could. And I remember just as a young teenager lifting my hands in my living room and weeping. One of the great songs was called "I've Got It." Now, I just wonder how many people here are on the same page with me. Four of us. Praise God. You don't know. If you know this song, it just went like this. This is, "I've got it, I've got it, I've got it, I've got it. Something about the power of the Holy Ghost. I can't explain it, but I've got it." Some of you are bopping. You ever heard that song? All right, but have you ever heard that truth? That the power of the Holy Spirit is something God places in us. We can't explain it, but when we've got it, everything changes. And today I want to speak to you about that very issue. My sermon is titled, "You've Got It." And as we look through the book of Acts, and lately I've been studying the book of Acts, there are just so many exciting things happen in people's lives because of the presence of the power of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, the power of the Holy Spirit has fallen. People have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. They literally rushed out into the street speaking in tongues. People were saved that day in great numbers. And then suddenly in Acts chapter 3, we see what happens when you've got it. And would you look that with me? We're going to start in verse number 1. I'm just going to read this whole story. It says, "One day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those who were going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, 'Look at us.' So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, 'Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Today, this story is a story about what can happen when you realize why you've got it, why you have the infilling of the Holy Spirit, why Jesus chose to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. You probably are aware of that story. You've all heard it before. And for when I read this story, I'm just going to tell you, when I read that story, my typical thought has been for forever is just, boy, that's something to aspire to get to that point where I would have enough faith to come up to somebody who is lame, grab them by the hand and say, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk, and pull them to their feet. And I've kind of looked at it like that's the dream. It's like the pinnacle of faith that I would like to get to. And I want to submit something to you today that I think I've been wrong. That the story is not contained here for us to see so that we can go, look at that, there's an impossible thing, or that's this amazing thing that maybe a few people can aspire to. But instead, for us to understand, when we have the power of the Holy Spirit in us, this is not an unusual thing, but it's a normal thing. And we don't have to replicate the same exact miracle that Peter had, because not everybody did that. You don't see that every place in the Bible. It happened here. But every day, God uses people who are baptized in the Holy Spirit to reach out to somebody in need, to see in them what they need. This man was a man in great need. Peter and John come upon this man, and they see him, and today, if they were to see this man, they would probably see him doing something like this. He'd probably be holding up a sign. You know, you drive around town and you see people holding a sign. He's holding a sign that says, crippled for life, anything helps. Crippled for life, anything helps. They see him there and they see this in his life. He's crippled from birth, the Bible tells us. Entirely dependent on other people in order to survive. He's excluded from fellowship. He's excluded from relationships. He's excluded from worship. He can't go in the temple. He was poor. He's begging for just enough coins to be able to get by. And there are several things that we see in this story that are important if we're going to use what God has given us, if we're going to be used by God with this gift of the Holy Spirit that he's given us. And take your bulletin on the back. I'm going to have you jot down a few things. The first thing was that Peter saw the man. Seems like an obvious statement. He saw the man. But sometimes, folks, we look right past people. As a matter of fact, people were filing into the temple, most people looking right past this man. I even wonder how many times had Peter walked right past this man, because the Bible says he was placed at this gate every day. Peter had walked through that gate literally with Jesus. Yet this time something happened. He saw that man. You see, the act of seeing people is the first step in freeing people. The act of actually seeing someone, noticing them, understanding what's happening, getting entering into their life is the first act of freeing them. Jesus commanded us to lift up our eyes and see the harvest. Remember that from the woman at the well? Hey, you're not seeing things, guys. And it's the same as said to us in this story. Peter saw this man. We have blinders on, don't we? I get blinders on when I have an agenda. I've got to get things done. My wife tells me, she says, Todd, you are the guy who gets things done. If there's something happening, it's like, oh, we're going to get in, we're going to get that done. You see it, we're going to act, and boy, nothing else better happen today because I'm on that. I've got my blinders on. We see our own friends. We see our own family. We see our own church members. But we have to remove those blinders that give us more peripheral vision and help us to see other things. We overlook the world's pain-filled individuals. Seeing people means that our agendas are going to be interrupted, our comfort is going to be challenged, and our abilities are going to be stretched. And sometimes I think, honestly, I don't see people because I don't want to see them. I don't want you taking my time or taking my money or taking my focus or changing my agenda. And we're so used to doing this on every level. So Peter did something really interesting. When he saw the man, he responded to him, and he raised this man's expectations. Because in verse 3 it says, Peter said, "Look at us." This man probably just held his sign and hoped that people wouldn't, you know, he didn't have to make contact. He just wanted the money. But Peter said, look at us. And so the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from him. He raised his expectations. A moment ago, Peter was just going to be another one of the people who ignored him. Now, Peter is going to give something to me. So his expectations are raised. Peter had confidence that what he had, this man needed. And if this man was going to receive a miracle, he needed this man's attention. So Peter defined for this man what he really needed. Peter says to him that famous phrase, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give to you." You see, this man asked for what he really didn't need. Isn't that the way we are, though? You know, we think we know the solution for our lives. If I only had this, if I only had more money, if I only had more time, if I only had more talent, if I only had more tools in my life, I could get this done. But God is saying to this man, and he says to us, what you're asking for isn't the solution for what you need. And so Peter says, "You're asking for silver and gold, and I don't have any." Now, the fact is, Peter could have got money for him. Because in chapter 2, it just tells us that the church was exploding and that people were selling property and giving everything they had. The church actually was having a very blessed time financially. So Peter could have said, "Wait right here. I'll go back and have the treasurer cut us a check. Or I'll get you a voucher. I'll get you a gift card, you know, I'll get something for you." No, Peter says, I'm sure he wasn't lying. "I don't have silver and gold," but he says, what you need, I have. We settle for giving people too little. We settle for giving people just enough to ease the pain for a moment, to make them a little bit more comfortable in their fall downward. People don't need momentary relief. People need healing. People need deliverance. People need a life change. Peter is saying, "I could make sure you've got bread for the day, but I'd like to give you so much more." So Peter said to him basically what that little song said by Andre Crouch, "What you need, I've got it." And the people all in this room, people here and people at home, I want you to know, if you have Jesus in your heart and the Holy Spirit lives within you, you've got what this world needs. You have got it. So he acted on what he had. Peter acted on what he had. He seized the man by the hand, helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. The miracle came when he took this man by the hand. He had already said, "In the name of Jesus Christ, walk," but the man's still sitting there. It had to have the personal touch of taking the man by the hand, and when he did, he was able to bring him to his feet, because he got personally involved. This overlooked, marginalized man had something happen that probably very seldom or never happened in his life. Somebody reached out and touched him. Instead of just throwing something his way, somebody reached out and touched him. He had spent his whole life on the outer edge of society. As a lame person, he was no good to anybody in terms of being a productive person. There was no productivity in his life. He was excluded from the temple all of his life. Because the Old Testament, if you read there, tells us very clearly that no one who had blemishes in their life could go into the temple. No lame person, no blind person, no person with leprosy, no emasculated person. There's all these lists of people who aren't able to go in. So here he is literally sitting at the gate. He's sitting at a gate and people are going into the temple. He hears the singing. He hears the worship and praise. Think about what the psalm says about the throng going into the temple and the worship going up and the music being played. He's on the outside listening in his whole life. What Peter did was not something small. Peter made this man not only walk, but gave him new entrance into a life that he had missed. And when we are used of God to bring people to Christ and to see healing come into their life, it's not just one thing that happens. It opens up a whole new horizon of things for people. Peter acted on what he had. And it transformed this man's life. So what did this guy do? The Bible says he jumps to his feet and begins to walk. And he went with him to the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. What a sight. Matter of fact, it was probably a little bit disconcerting to some people who were trying to really, you know, they were trying to be very proper in church. And, you know, we aren't called to be proper in church. We're called to be exuberant. And this guy, he is not thinking about, is this the way you act in church? For one thing, he had no idea. He had never been in church. But he had heard inside there, and he thought, I am going all in. I'm going to get everything God has got for me. He did what he could not do before. He jumped. He walked. He praised God. He joined in with the throng. And he became a great testimony for God. Because look at what the people said. They recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate, called beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now, the fact is, Peter's experience is not extraordinary. We walk by people who are holding a sign every day. And I'm not talking about just the people who are at a street corner and saying, you know, can you give me some money? But there are people around us that we are encountering every day who are holding signs in their life that say, I'm at a point in my life of need. I'm at a point in my life of despair, of desperation. You and I have that same opportunity that Peter did, not to walk past people, but to engage with people. Maybe you've seen people holding a sign like this. That just says, I'm lonely, but nobody seems to care. Did you know that loneliness in our country is kind of known and silent epidemic? It's around us in ways that we never really even believed was possible. There was a recent study done at Harvard University called Making Caring Common. And they said in it, quote, that there are alarming problems in America. 36% of Americans say they experience serious loneliness. Not just a day where, hey, there's nobody around, but serious loneliness. It's especially true with young adults and mothers who have small children. And its most impacted group is the newest generation coming up. People who are 18 to 25 years old say that 61% of the time they are lonely almost all the time. And loneliness isn't cured by getting on social media and checking in and taking a picture of what you're doing or talking with other people. People are genuinely lonely. We have to learn to interpret the signs. We need to learn to see. We need to be willing to say, I'm going to stop my activity, get off my plan for the day, and actually engage with somebody. The psalmist tells us that God sets the lonely in families. Don't you love that verse? He sets the lonely in families. And we are what? The family of God. God's plan is for us to bring the lonely into relationship. Like Peter stopped and he looked at this man, and by the way, that man was lonely, he reached out a hand. And I imagine that man was never lonely again. He raised him to his feet, brought him into the temple, and then I'm sure he said, you haven't seen anything yet, you ought to come to church with me. Because that's really going to be something for you. It's not just loneliness that is a problem with people. All around us, we have people who would say, I'm addicted, and there's just no way out. I'm addicted. Addiction in our country is not something that is going away. It is something that is growing. And the world is trying and trying to find answers for addictions, but the world doesn't have answers for addictions. But I do know the one who has the answer. And I happen to know that he put his Holy Spirit within us so that we can be that hand extended. For those of you that have had your own addictions in your life, and God has set you free, you have a very, very special opportunity. Because there are folks around you who you can say, Jesus did it for me, and he can do it for you. But it's not just people who have had a past addiction who can be a great ministry. My wife and I have a similar background. Neither of us have ever had addictions to substances or pornography or any of those things that so many people struggle with. I guess it was the way we were raised. We were saved at young ages. We were well-discipled. And so those things didn't happen to us. But the church that I pastored had a lot of people who came through that church who still do today, who are coming out of their addictions. And I had a lot of times people walk up to me, people who were either coming out of their addictions, former addicts. Sometimes they say, I'm always an addict. You know, whatever helps. But here's the thing. I had a lot of them come up to me and say, Pastor Todd, I heard that you've never been drunk. And I said, that's true. Well, I even heard that you've never even had a drop of alcohol. I said, I know that sounds weird, but yeah, that's true. You've never smoked? Nah, didn't want to. You've never taken drugs? No. And they say, thank you so much, because your example is going to help me. It's not just people who came out of that life. Anybody who can say, I will walk with you, be with you, encourage you, help you to be accountable. We need that. Our churches should be full of people who say, I used to be addicted. I'm not anymore. Praise God. And it's so exciting to have those kind of people in your church. I got to tell you a funny story. In our church at home, there's a lady who recently came out of, at home, I mean in Springfield, and Brent, our son, told us this story that this young lady or this woman came to him, and she's been living for Christ now for several months, and she has been delivered. She's just doing awesome. She's excited about Jesus and everything Jesus is doing. And Brent mentioned something about Jesus coming back, and she said, what? When? Where? I mean, she was going to get in the car and drive there because Jesus is coming back. And he explained to her, well, we don't know when. But it is so wonderful to be with people who are just newborns, who are just drinking it in. And I just want to tell you, folks, I would encourage this church going forward, bring in the addicted. Find them. Reach out your hand, slow down, become their friend. Say, you know what? I don't have silver or gold or a worldly answer for you, but what I have, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, here's my hand. I may not even understand all you've gone through or what you are going through or how this is going to work out as we go forward, but you've got my hand. That's what this world is dying for. There are some people who are holding up a sign that says, you know what? I'm just disappointed in life. I'm just plain disappointed. Life hasn't worked out for me. And we hear alarming numbers about suicide and people just giving up, dropping out, falling into places of depression, and they just, I can't cope. Life is just too much. I'm just so disappointed in life. You know that the Bible tells us that God offers us a life and a life of abundance. And even when plans fall through or hopes fade or people let us down, when we hold out a hand like Peter did to somebody and say, listen, disappointment's real. Difficulties are real. But my commitment to you to walk through whatever you're in right now is there for you. Will you take my hand? Will you look at me and will you take my hand and let me pull you up? Because I have something in me. I have the power of the Holy Spirit. And I will be your friend and I will walk through you even through times of disappointment. There's also people who hold up signs like this one that says, I've been lied to. I'm so confused, and the world's philosophies, the things I've been taught, what people have said, what I see in movies, what I see in literature, what I see in my culture, I've been lied to, and I don't even know what's true. Again, a person who has found the truth and walking in the truth, we don't have to understand every question or every answer just to be able to say, I've got it in my life. God has given me confidence. He's given me a purpose to live. I have found him to be true and he'll never let me down. Can I take you by the hand and we'll walk in the truth together? Sometimes we fear not knowing the answer for everybody. All we have to know is that we know the one who has the answer. Some people are holding up signs like this that says, you know what? I've sexually messed up, and I need to be loved. I think everybody here would agree, boy, do we see this in our world. Now, you're not going to drive down to the street, the corner today, and see somebody that's sitting there with their dog and their tent and things, and they're holding up a sign that says, I'm sexually messed up, I need somebody to love me. But you're going to see it in people's lives. You'll see it in their eyes. You'll hear it in their stories. And in this world that we're in today, there is unfathomable numbers of people who have been hurt by this culture shift. The lie that happiness and acceptance outside of the protective relationship of marriage has hurt people. It's destroying lives. People are caught in sexual encounters, casual relationships, homosexuality, gender dysphoria. Where does all this come from? It comes from our world, the philosophies that are there, the things that are told to people, the lies that are told that this will make you happy, this will make you fulfilled. How do people find the truth? I want you to know that the hope of the gospel is for everybody. Every person that we can say, I found through the power of the Holy Spirit that there's deliverance and there's freedom and there's hope for you. That in God there is hope for a new future. One of the greatest sexual sins of the Bible occurred in the life of King David. As he was an adulterer, a murderer, a cover-up. And when he wrote his prayer of repentance in Psalm 51, listen to what he said. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. He asked God to do something amazing. He said, create a new heart in me, a pure one. To those that have fallen sexually, for those that are caught in the disappointment and the pain and the hurt of that lifestyle or of those decisions, I want you all to hear this. And we need to let people hear this through us. God can create a new pure heart for us. He can make us a new person. That the old truly can be behind us, that we can be in spirit a pure virgin and give us a new start. Create in me a pure heart. And people in this world need to hear that, not our condemnation and not our arguments. Instead, a hand that reaches out and says, you can be pure in Christ. Would you let me help you get to that place? Would you let me help you? One last thing. Sometimes people have been hurt by other people really badly. And sometimes people are absolutely devastated in their life. And they say, I have been so hurt in my life. And their sign says, never again will I trust anybody. Never again will I let that happen in me. We're hurt through a family split up. We're hurt through divorce. Hurt through the unfaithfulness of other people. Some here in this room or people that you encounter have been sexually abused. They've been physically abused, emotionally abused. People have made promises that they've broken. And when you see a person who is hurt like that, the last thing we want to do is look past them and say, you know what, I've got to get going on my way. No, what people need is for us to say, hey, look at me. I've got it. I've got what you need. Through Christ, you can begin to be to trust people again. Do you want to go on an adventure? Ask God to start using you. When you get up in the day, say, Lord, help me to see a sign today, respond to a sign, and see something miraculous happen in the kingdom. Our family, while we were away from you, went to Virginia. We went to Washington, D.C., and Virginia, and Pennsylvania. We took our grandson, who was an eighth grader, and his mom, and we wanted to see all the historical sites, and we got a flight canceled. We had to go to another city, and we ended up in the wrong place, and so we were frustrated and trying to hurry. We lost a whole day of the vacation, and you know that feeling, and I felt like, but we just got to rush and get this thing moving. Get moving. Had my blinders on. I had my Todd is going to get it done thing going, you know. Here we go. Let's get this done. And so we decided we'd rent a car. We couldn't rent a car. Then we thought, well, we'll get an Uber. It costs a lot of money, but we got to get from one city to another so we can get going. So we'll get an Uber. So we ordered up an Uber. We got in the car, and we're going down the highway. I made a few phone calls, talking to people, arranging the hotels to get things going. And I finally stopped. I was up front, and Chris and Adric and Chelsea are in the back. This man driving the car, and a lot of times Uber drivers, you don't even talk to him, right? Just like, you're not there, I'm not here, we're just going to get there. You know, that's the deal. It's the deal. I put my phone down, and I looked at this guy. I'm sitting near him, and I said, now we can talk. And he said, okay. I said, tell me about yourself. He said, my name's Wilbert. He doesn't have a talking horse, by the way. He says, my name's Wilbert. I said, Wilbert, what have you done? He says, well, I was a parole officer. I helped teenagers. I retired, and I've been driving Uber for a couple of weeks. I said, that's exciting. Did you get to help a lot of teens? Did you help get them, you know, on the right path? He goes, yeah, I would hope so. And we talked a little bit, and he goes, what about you? I said, I spent my life preaching the gospel, telling people about Jesus. I was a pastor of a church. He said, that's fascinating. Then he said, by the way, this was the Saturday, this was the day after Good Friday. No, not Good Friday, the day before Palm Sunday, day before Palm Sunday. He said, tell me, what's the deal with Easter? What's that all about anyway? I thought, signs are everywhere. I said, it's about how Jesus died on the cross to take our sin, and he forgives us when we receive what he has done, and then he rose again to life after 3 days of being dead in a grave. He said, I kind of knew some of this, but, you know, never understood it, put it all together. And I said, yeah, that's what it's all about. He goes, you know, my wife has gone to the same Baptist church for 35 years, and I've just never understood that. I says, have you never been invited to go with your wife to church? He's never gone. I imagine she invited him, but he's never gone. And I said, so I explained it. He goes, well, I really appreciate you telling me about it. I kind of get that. Oh, that's great. I said, oh, okay. I said, Wilbert, is there anything I could pray with you about? We're just driving the freeway, you know. Is there anything I could pray with you about? He said, yeah. My brother has been paralyzed for 10 years. He is in a nursing home down in the city where we're going. And he said, we don't talk. We don't get along. He says, I guess I'm concerned about him. I said, then why don't we pray? I said, you keep your eyes open. I will do the praying. And why don't we pray for your brother? He told me his brother's name. I prayed for him. He thanked me. We talked a little bit more. And then near the end of the trip, he says, you know what? I said, what? He goes, well, I'm going down to this town anyway. It's an hour and a half home. He says, maybe after I let you off, I'll go see my brother. I said, that's a great idea. I said, we've just prayed for him, prayed that your relationship would be restored. That's a great idea. So he let us off. Oh, by the way, before that all happened, then my wife slips my phone number on a scrap of paper up to me. So I said, Wilbert, I don't mean to be too forward, but this is my phone number. Would you like my phone number if you ever want to call me? He goes, yeah, thank you, Todd. I'll take that. So we got out, got on with our trip. That night, I get a phone call. And this guy is laughing. Hey, is this the guy who owes me $150 for me taking him somewhere today? And I said, what? Did you not get paid? Like, he said, this is Wilbert. I said, hey, Wilbert, what's happening? He said, I went to see my brother and we had the best time. He said, we just had this wonderful time. I said, I'm so glad to hear that, Wilbert. And I said, have you thought about going with your wife to services on Easter next Sunday? He said, I don't know, but I'll think about it. I said, okay, all right, I'm not going to pressure you. He called me 2 days later. Hey, Todd, it's Wilbert. I said, hey, it's so great to talk to you. He had another issue he wanted to talk about. Somebody who he needed to forgive. He didn't know how to go about it. What do you think about forgiving people? Is that important? I said, oh, that's so important, Wilbert. So we talked about that. I sent him pictures of us in Washington, D.C. Here we are doing this and that, you know, and everything. And I don't think Wilbert's a Christian yet, but do you know what? When you say to God, let me see some signs, he will bring those signs. And I don't think Wilbert's a finished story. I just want to know, do you want to go on an adventure? Because if you want to go on an adventure, you just need to ask God, help me to start seeing the signs that you're bringing into my life, the ones that I should be responding to. There are some prayers that I know are always answered, and one of them is, when I say yes, Lord, to signs, he starts letting me see signs. And the same is true for you and me. On your bulletin, there's some questions for you to answer. You don't have to answer them now because I want you to thoughtfully look at them this afternoon. Who is it in your life who there are some signs that you can see? Who might you have been walking past and just going, oh, no thanks, too much effort, I don't know if I have the answers? Listen, you've got it. You have got it. What did they need that only God can offer? Don't give them what the world would offer. Say, I want to give you what only God can offer. How is the Holy Spirit preparing you for this moment in time? And what do you need from him now to be his hand extended? I want you to ask God to prepare you to use you this week. Don't let yourself miss opportunities. The miraculous is at the door for you. Would you stand up with me? Today, before we conclude, I just wonder how many folks, when I was holding up signs, you were saying, actually, I'm the person holding the sign. I'm not the person who is, right now we're flipping it around. We talked about us being ones looking for the signs. How about you? Have you got a sign in your life right now that you're saying, oh, I wish somebody would see this in me. I wish somebody knew how lonely I am. How I just wish the phone would actually ring or somebody would send me a text that says, can we get together? If there's that sign in your life today, I want you to know that there's a hand offered to you, extended to you right now through this fellowship, through this congregation. You heard them talking about coming to a life group. There's other opportunities. There's just Roger or somebody will often say, hey, turn to somebody and shake hands. Did you know that that's an opportunity to put out a sign and say, hey, since we're talking, could we get coffee? Could I take you to coffee or could we sit down because there's something in my life? I'm lonely right now. You know, and I so appreciate the ministry that we have here in this church of the video going out to people and so many people watching it. But can I say to those of you that are watching at home, I'd like to invite you to take another step. If you can, leave home and come here. This ministry is great, and we always want to do it. We appreciate the opportunity to come into your home or wherever you're at. But if you have the opportunity, if you're close enough, if you're healthy enough, if you've got the schedule, do you know why I want you to come here? Because here are people who are saying, here's my hand. Here's my hand. Some people here today might say it's not so much loneliness, it's other things. Maybe there's people here who say, I've got a hidden addiction nobody knows about. Today can be your day of freedom. Some of you might be caught in that sexual web that we talked about. It's a secret. Nobody knows. Or maybe it's wide open. Maybe you need the purity that only comes through the transformation of the Holy Spirit. You don't have to do this alone. There are people in your life here or right now at this altar who would say, this can be the moment of change and transformation. The psalmist said this, then we're going to pray. He said, in my desperation, I prayed. Today, in your desperation, he said, in my desperation, I prayed. And the Lord listened and saved me from all my troubles. Would you bow your heads today? And it's not even important that you would identify for me what the sign is that you have in your life, but for any person here, every person here, would say, Pastor, there's a sign in my life, and I'm holding up my hand and saying to the God, here's my sign. I'm lonely. I need forgiveness. I'm discouraged. I feel like I can't go forward. I need purity in my heart and my life again. Lord, see my sign. If that's you today, would you just lift up your hands to the Lord and say, here's my sign. My hand is up to you, Lord. I need you. Hands are going up across this room right now. Here's my sign. I need God today. And the first step in that deliverance is turning to Him. And He's the one who can bring a new day, a new hope. He's the one who raised that man up off that mat and sent him leaping and jumping and praising God. Today, God is here for you. With your hands up right now, we're going to pray. And I'd like you to just lift your hearts with me. Lord Jesus, you see the signs lifted up today with hands up. Hands up that are saying, oh, I need purity in my life. I have strayed from what is right. I have gone away from what is good. I have allowed myself to be dirtied by this world. I need you to forgive me of my sins and to make me pure. Others today are saying, you see the addictions in my life. You see, Lord, the alcohol or the drugs or the pornography or the other addictions that are in my life. You know the codependency that resides there. Today, I need freedom. My sign is up. Lord, hear me. I call out today for the lonely, Lord, those who say there's nobody in my life who cares about me. Nobody knows that I even exist. But Lord, today we know that you know and that you are going to bring us into families, you're going to bring us into relationship, and you're going to give us the courage to step out and to make new relationships and to make friends and to have somebody to walk with us. Lord, we pray for all those who are just discouraged with life. It just hasn't been working out. It's just not what I expected. All my hopes and dreams haven't come about. And Lord, today you are the one who makes all things new. And we pray for people whose hands are up and saying, this is my sign. I am so tired. We pray you would lift people out of the pit of depression, that you would lift people out of the hopelessness, that you would bring a new life and a new step where people have no power to do it. There's not anything we can do. We need you to take us by the hand. And Lord, as a congregation, we also commit ourselves. We will take people by the hand. We will not let people be left behind. We will respond to the signs. I thank you, Lord, that you are good. You are faithful. You will use us because you have given us your Holy Spirit. We've got it. It's in us. You are in us for a reason. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you remain standing as we worship the Lord together?